Anybody know how Paul died? We don't know. We believe that he was beheaded. The church tradition tells us that. We don't see it in Scripture. We see some writings that talk about Paul's death. His death was at the hands of Nero when the great persecution, the persecution that Nero put on Christians was something the world has really never seen, to the point where he would take Christians and put them in the lamps and burn them to light the streets. It was just really just a gruesome thing. So we see Paul, and he's writing about this, and in verse 20, he said, you know, it's good for you, right? It's good for you if I stick around. It's good for you because I'm a benefit to you right now if I stay here. But so if I stay here, I get to live for Christ. I get to exemplify Christ. I get to, you know, minister for Christ, and you get to see and enjoy the fruits of that ministry. But if I die, what does it say? It is gain. So we can use the expression, it's far better. Now we see another person who used similar expression when Jesus left earth. He said, when I leave you, it's going to be better that I go. It's going to be better. You don't think it is, but it's going to be better when I go, because when I go, I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the other part of the Trinity, and he's not going to walk with you. He's going to live in you. And you're going to receive power from on high. You're going to receive power to do all the things we've been talking about, all the things that you're commanded to do. So we see this expression, gain or far better. So when I think about being with Christ in heaven, the first thing I want to know, it is gain, it is far better than here. Now, you don't accept that it's hard to accept that because you are attached to here. You're attached to the things that are here. And in the same way, we don't view life. We view life as a longer life because the days go by. Although every year, you know this, it goes by. We're almost to Christmas. I mean, it's in August, and hadn't put up the tree yet. Because life goes by. You get to understand that. Kids don't understand this. Older adults understand it much more than kids do. And we see life as a blur. Because let's use the bench note of 100 years. 100 years in the course of things is really a blur. You know, we in the election season and so forth, or maybe in the Olympics, or maybe football season that's coming up, and your mind goes to things that happened years ago, and all of a sudden, I haven't happened to Gabe and Sharon yet, like it had, you know, it's starting to happen to me. You start remembering things. I can remember, the smell of the locker room the day I quit playing football. I can smell it. And it is getting close to 40 years ago. I never thought that would happen. I can taste things. I can remember my brother and I on a Saturday mornings getting up and getting in the chair together, which was a miracle in and of itself. We get under Stephen's doggy blanket. If you don't know what doggy blanket was, that was his blanket. He called it doggy blanket. And we would watch, the Bugs Bunny cartoon hour. I mean, that was my favorite thing to do in the morning, and I watched cartoons all the way through Fat Albert, and then I had to go do something. So I had that set every Saturday morning. You can remember things like that as well. And they seem like yesterday. I've told you that my backpack from college has not been unpacked. It's upstairs just as it was. Pencils there, everything just like it was. I sat it right there, and we've moved it around forever. One of these days I'm going to go with it, but there it was. Recently, we're trying to clean out, which means Andy's throwing stuff away, and the whole family's encouraging me to do so. I ran across a bunch of test booklets that I had from the University of Alabama, and I'll pull them out to show the kids. See, look at all the great stuff. They didn't pull out the bad grades, but just the good ones. I had all these test booklets that I showed them, and I can remember writing. I remember when I wrote that on that page, because life here is a blur. The Bible talks about 1,000 years is as a day, right? You know, so we get that. So when we think about separation, the people there, separation has a complete different definition than it does here. So Paul is saying, when I go, it's going to be my benefit. But I'm staying here living for Christ for your benefit. And I don't want to just make a statement here. We think about heaven, and we obviously start thinking about the reverse and the opposite of that, the hell, the place of outer darkness, the Gehenna, is that the word, did I say it close to right? Yeah, which was the dump outside the city, and that's what Jesus referred to that. We see the Sheol, where the place of the dead, but then there is the scraping to the outer darkness once the judgment takes place. C.S. Lewis had a statement, and I really buy into this statement. The statement goes like this. The door of hell is always locked from the inside. In other words, there are chances. People have the opportunity to respond, but there is a willing, volitional, I do not want anything to do with God, I will lock the door aspect to this. And anybody who, you know, is thinking clearly, when you start thinking clearly, you say, well, I'd rather have this than that. I'd rather have heaven than hell. Even people who aren't Christians, they get around death and they start talking about heaven a little bit, right? And you'll hear crazy things like this. Well, oh, Joe, and he's up there with Uncle Fred, and they're having a cold one together. You know, you'll hear that all the time. You're like, oh, my goodness, I'm not sure we really quite grasp this thing yet. You know, but you'll hear these expressions. It's like the little boy, they were talking about heaven one day in Sunday school or something. You've heard this kind of story before. And it said, who all wants to go to heaven? And everybody raised their hand with the little boy, you know. And finally the preacher said, you know, don't you want to go to heaven? And the boy said, sure, I want to go to heaven. I just don't want to go in the load that's leaving today. And we get that. We get that. We understand that because that is coming from our human perspective. And there's also a little bit of fear because we don't know what to expect. Although the Bible gives us a lot to expect, we still don't know what to expect. But I can tell you this, first principle, if you get nothing else out of this, according to the Apostle Paul, it's going to be what? Far better. It's going to be to your gain. In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 through 4, which is a fascinating piece of scripture, here's what Paul says. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard the inexpressible words which were not lawful for man to utter. Now we believe here Paul's talking about who? Paul. Paul being able to go and to see so that he could come back and report. I was caught up, and he said, I don't know if it was out of body. In other words, was it just a vision or was it real? I can't answer that. But what I can tell you, I was able to see enough to see what? Paradise. And hear the inexpressible words. So we see that description. Again and again, we see the word paradise. And then we see indescribable. I can't even describe it. John, the Apostle John, when he got to see into heaven, he came back and he described in first century language what he saw in heaven. And what are some of the things he saw? Just give me a couple of things. They were what? Streets of gold. Yeah. What did the Lord look like? White hair, the whole nine yards. So we see these descriptions there. But you know, I know the tension that Paul faced. The tension is this. I love my life. I love my family. Things aren't perfect by any means, but I like this. I enjoy this. And I'm enjoying this, but yet I know it'd be gain to go there, but I really am enjoying this as well. And I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with enjoying here because we're kingdom people. We have kingdom relationships. We have Christ-honoring relationships. We live in the midst of a fallen world, and we have fallenness. We get ill in our bodies. We get broken down. We get tired. We have to keep going to buy groceries. They just don't show up. We have all these things we have to do. But at the same time, we enjoy those aspects, right? Do you enjoy things in life? Sure you do. Do you enjoy being together? Sure you do. And we can sometimes have the tension because we understand, you know, if I'm here, I get to live for Christ and I get to enjoy this. But if I go to be with Him, it's going to be even better. But since I haven't seen it, there's still a little bit of trepidation. I don't know what it'll be like. Anybody else have that tension? Sometimes I do. But the Bible commands believers to give heaven attention. In Colossians 3, 1 and 2, the writing says this, "If you are raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." And we go all the way back to the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? "On earth as it is in heaven." Jim, our assignment as godly men and women is to enact what is happening in heaven on earth. And then when we finish that assignment, we get to go be there all the time. But my job is to bring heaven to earth, to be the vessel that God can use to bring heaven to earth. So talking about the memories we have, all those God-given memories. You know, can you think back to a time in your life when it was just a treasure time? I remember when Christy and I were first married, we were in the Smoky Mountains, and we went from Gatlinburg to Cherokee. You ever made that trek, you know? And you go over the mountains, it was an overcast day, and we had praise music on, and we just rode. I don't think we said three words going over the mountain. We just sat and enjoyed the beauty. You ever done something like that? And I remember it to this day. Because I remember it also because we have it on video somewhere. We had a video camera, except it wasn't one of these. It was like Channel 13. That's how big they were in those. There's a phrase, and Benjamin and I were talking about this phrase a couple days ago. My goodness, the time. But look at the phrase a couple days ago. "He's too heavenly minded to be any earthly good." You ever heard that phrase? I'm not sure there's such thing. Because to be heavenly minded is to be praying each day, "Lord, I want everything in the kingdom of God, and I want to enact that here as well. I want there, and while I'm here on assignment, I want to bring it down. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul." You know, when I think about that, I want my treasure to be there. I want my investments to be there. I don't want them to be here because this is a vapor and it's a blur. If there was a century waiting on me, I'm way past the half point, right? If there was a century here, I'm counting on eternity there. Just take everything there. I want to invest in you so that investment is there. I want to invest in my kids so that investment is there. I'm not looking for here, I'm looking for there. So why should we study heaven? Three things I put here. First, the study of heaven enhances our worship. We sang about it all morning. Paul writes about it. Jesus talked about it. He talked about the kingdom of God is like. And yeah, we have the kingdom of God here, but we have the kingdom of heaven there. And he talked about this worship, or it enhances our worship. Heaven is the abode of the Almighty God. And the more we learn about heaven, the more we will know God. Second, it motivates our evangelism. You know, I don't want just me to know this. I want everybody to know that. There is despair in life, yes, but you don't have to despair. Because we have a hope. We have something we're looking forward to that is going to be much better than this. It's going to be gain. It's going to be paradise. Three, the study of heaven prioritizes our purity. 1 John 3, 3 speaks of our eternal home when he says, "And anyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Meaning this, it motivates us daily to be the disciples of Christ. It motivates us to be filled with His Spirit. We want to be preparing for heaven. This is a side note, get into it later. Have you ever thought that your life here is an opportunity for you to prepare for heaven? And there are two people that will not be, there are two occupations that will not be needed in heaven. No, not the people. What occupations will not be needed in heaven? Doctor, well, there's three. I didn't think about undertakers. We will not need doctors, we won't need lawyers, and we won't need undertakers. What will we need? We're going to need a lot of people to do it. We're going to be building a city. We're going to need people who understand architecture. We're going to need people who understand construction. And we're different worshipers. We're also going to need people to tend the gardens and to work. So there's going to be activity, beautiful activity. You know, if I were to, and I keep going to the mountains because I like the mountains, but you plop me down on top of the mountain, you say, "Okay, Andy, you know, here, this 40 acres is yours. Here's your implements, and you can work this 40 acres." I'd be, this is great. You know, if I had the, I would love that. Can you imagine being back in the Garden of Eden like Adam and Eve? What did they do? They had some jobs. One job they had was to take dominion over the earth. Second job they had was to name the animals, which was great. God didn't say, let me give you the names. He said, you do this. Third, you know, they tended. And so, I mean, there's all sorts of things. You think of the activity in heaven. We somehow have allowed the world to paint a picture of us floating on a cloud playing a harp. And no, that doesn't look good for me either. But heaven, we're getting a taste of it here. We're in a fallen world, but this world was not created fallen. This is a place God created. And God, and we are, you know, we have likeness of God. Now, number one, we're on point one now. This is going to go well. I might turn it into 12 weeks. All right. The Bible speaks of heaven in three ways. I'll go fast. First, there's the atmospheric or aerial heavens. We see in the beginning what God created the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 59 says, for the heavens are higher than the earth. And so we understand the heavens are the area out there, that where the stars are. We understand the heavens, the place that is above us. But secondly, there's the planetary type heavens. Genesis 1, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens, you know, the stars and the sun and all the stuff that is there. First Kings says, behold heaven and the heavens and heaven, excuse me, behold heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. So there are the heavens and there is the heaven of heavens. But the third thing is we see in Scripture that there is a place called heaven, our eternal home. And this is where it gets pretty exciting. In 2 Corinthians 12:2, we see this thought where Paul talks about being caught up into the third heaven. And the Bible speaks of heaven being God's abode. It's where He is. Now, He's with us now. But where He is, there will be the absence of a lot of things that cause us grief here. For in Isaiah 57, for thus says the Lord, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and the holy place. I want to see Jesus. I want to see the Lord. I want to see my Heavenly Father. Moses wanted to see Him so bad he begged the Lord, let me see You. And God said, you can't look upon Me now, Moses. Yeah, you'll be destroyed if you look upon Me. And Moses begged and he said, Lord, if You could just let me see. And finally, the deal was, okay, you get in the cleft of the rock, I'll cover you with My hand, I'll pass by. And once I pass by, you'll be able to see the trail of Me as it goes by. I want to see the Lord. When you see the Lord, everything that you want, because the Lord says this, when you are dedicated to the Lord, He gives you what? The desires of what? Your heart. I want to fully give you the desires of your heart. And He will do that in His abode. And you have to read all the Scriptures later. I won't do that. But even Jesus talked about in Matthew, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And He goes on in verse 34 of chapter 5, for God, it is God's throne. You go to chapter 6. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And I could keep going with the Scriptures. I'll tell you this, there's about 27 times in the New Testament when we read the word Father in heaven together. So we understand that our Father is in heaven. He has sent Jesus. He has sent the Holy Spirit, but our Father is in heaven. At the same time, our Father is omnipresent. He's omnipresent maybe by sending the Holy Spirit or maybe by sending Jesus, but at the same time, He is where? Everywhere? No, He's where He chooses to be. And He can be everywhere. David wrote, if I ascend into heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol or hell, behold, You are there. You are, wherever I go, You're there. Where does God want to be? With you. Have you ever thought about that? God wants to be with you. See, we think about our relationships here. And we think about getting together. We love to get together. We love when everybody's back to the nest, so to speak. And we get there, and we like togetherness. And togetherness is great until it's not great. Right? It's fun until, I can't imagine, eight people going across country and back. But it's fun until, the last 800 miles. Sometimes togetherness is fun and sometimes it gets long in the tooth. I dwell in Birmingham, Alabama. But I go different places. Now, I'm not omnipresent. I'm just merely present. Where I am is where I am. Today I'm at the Fairfield Inn. If the Lord wills, when I leave here, I'll go back to my house. But the Lord is everywhere. The Bible speaks of heaven not only as where God is, but it speaks of it as our eternal home. Now think about this. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. We won't have to imagine what God is like. We'll see Him face to face. We won't have to ever worry about sin or being tempted by sin again. Anybody want to give a hallelujah to that? We won't have to worry about growing old. We won't have to worry about knowing pain. We will not have to ever consider death again. We will have a reunion with our loved ones who died in Christ. We'll form new relationships with the believers we never knew on earth. We'll find joy and pleasures that surpass everything known here. We will have limitless knowledge, maybe. At the knowing questions of life will be answered. We'll sing, we'll worship. The music of heaven will surpass anything we have here. We'll go on forever and never tire of anything. It is indeed paradise. Now what heaven is not? Let me go quickly. Number two. Heaven is not a place of fluffy white clouds. It's not a place of eternal boredom. As a kid, you think about that. Will there be baseball in heaven? Will there be we start thinking about all these things we have here. And I'm thinking, if we can come up with this here, it's going to be even better there. And we limit ourselves so much by what we have here. And what we have here is a mere small drop in the bucket of what we will have there. Heaven is not a place of inactivity. You were faithful over a few things, he said. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Heaven is not a place that we're going to be lazy laying around. You know how old that gets after about a day? You've been there. We're going to have great activity. I can imagine walking the streets, walking the creek banks, walking the river banks. Heaven is not a place of constant hymn singing. I say that as all the little kids, we're going to do the sing hymns. Oh, I love doing that. And it's not that type place. It's a place that we will fully enjoy because we're going to be in the presence of the Lord and be absent of everything that holds us back and causes us grief here. Heaven is a place, heaven is not a place where we will become angels. I don't care what songs you ever hear about that. We're created a little below the angels, and angels are great. We have angels around us. We have angels who aid us, angels who do things at God's bequest. But God did not die for the angels. He died for us. And when I go to heaven, I don't want to stop in the middle and be an angel. I want to be glorified as God intended me to be. I'm not going to be an angel. Thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for our angels. But I'm going to be a glorified creation of the God Almighty. Heaven is not a place where St. Peter guards the gates. We get that kind of from, the gates of the church and so forth. But what heaven holds, and let me be quick here. Heaven holds our Father who is in heaven. Heaven holds our Savior who is in heaven. We see this in Acts 2:33. He's exalted at the right hand of God. Hebrews 8:1. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Heaven holds our family, both blood and Christian kingdom family who've gone on before. Do you look forward to those reunions? Can you imagine? It talks about the angels singing when one comes home, when sinner comes home in heaven. Can you imagine what it would be like to reunite with people in heaven? And we think, oh my goodness, are we going to be able to do that? Absolutely. And will we know people? Think about the Mount of Transfiguration. There was Elijah and Moses on the mount. Did they recognize Elijah and Moses? Yes, they did. And we will be able to see people again as well. Our names are in heaven. Luke 10:20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, but the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are in heaven. You ever had a reservation to get there and they don't have your name? My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My name's written down where nobody can touch the name. Satan cannot steal that reservation. Our inheritance is in heaven. 1 Peter 3:4. Praise the Lord for this, by the way. Anybody feel like you got shafted in an inheritance? You owe more than you... Okay, well, the inheritance, your inheritance is in heaven. I'm laying up for myself treasures there, not treasures here. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our rewards are in heaven. That's a big subject, too. Our hope is in heaven. And we will close with this. I want to say two things. Heaven is a great thing for the unbeliever because it is an offer to have something different in your life. It's an eternal destination. It's something you cannot just desire, but something you can know. But heaven's also great for the believer because it is our eternal hope and we rest secure in that. We'll close now, just kind of touching the iceberg. Come with your questions. Let's talk about heaven. Let's pray together. Father, as we think about the place where you are, this place we can't see, and we don't understand everything that's going to happen, although there are a lot of great descriptions in Scripture. Lord, we accept the fact that we can't see fully now, but we want to be able to see you face to face then. Father, I pray that you'll help each one of us to have in our minds and our hearts the assurance that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life so that we might be able to partake of paradise forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.